Hey, Nick.
Oh, the trick-or-treaters are here. Oh, my goodness. Look at you. Look at that little mask. Who are you supposed to be, little guy?
Me? Well, I'm not wearing a costume, so...
Oh, God, I am sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
This is, how I was born. My, family contributed.
Your gene pool.
Father and my mother, consummated
shallow.
Their marriage.
Okay, well... hey, take a look over here, because this is stranger still.
Goblins and greetings, my fellow friends. My name's John Vegan.
The smoothest intro we've ever had on this show, and I am Nick Wood. Welcome to Stranger Still. It's a podcast where we spook you into learning. Ooh.
Yeah, it's scary learning. Your synapses are firing.
It's so...
like a hell.
It feels like hell in your brain right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that episode where SpongeBob...
went to hell?
No.
He didn't see that one.
He removes all the information except for like how to be a good waiter, and then someone asks him his name, and then all the little SpongeBobs freak out, and it's like hell.
I thought it was Squidward's Inferno, but bonus episode.
Squidward's Inferno.
Sounds more fun than Dante's. What are we learning about today, Nicholas?
Well, welcome to October month, everybody. We're our second week in. Hopefully last week spooked you, because now we're gonna let off the gas of the spook a little bit. Today is just a history lesson.
What is he talking about?
I don't know. Just go with it. You're supposed to be my support animal.
That was rhetorical. Go on.
you were just talking to nobody. But this week...
now he thinks you're nobody.
We're going to talk about something I'm surprised we haven't talked about. What?
I was talking to someone else.
Oh, okay. God, you're like gaslighting me. Which is spooky, like October month. We're going to do something that we should have done in the first year, which was the history of Halloween. And this is actually an idea from my wife. So she's like, you never use my ideas, Shelby.
I don't understand it when you pronounce it like that. Did you mean my wife?
My wife.
Thank you.
Oh, going for the obvious joke like always. She's like, you should do one on trick-or-treating. I was like, you know, we probably should. But we needed more substance. So I asked our listeners for... other things that they wanted to know the origins of when it comes to Halloween. And I've got... We'll dive into the history of Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got five other traditions, I guess I'll call them, that I will provide the history of. And I will start things off by asking you, who do you think invented Halloween today as we know it?
I mean, we're humans.
Yeah.
We always go based off of last names, so it has to be Harry Halloween.
Harry Halloween, that's almost right. No, you're wrong. you know, it's funny, I wrote in my notes, John, who do you think invented Halloween as we know today? And then the next line starts, wrong. It actually appears...
What? Like,
so whatever you
this
said...
This game's fixed. First you mess with the democratic voting poll process. Now you're using your electoral college. Oh my god.
Yeah. So the earliest forms of Halloween come from the ancient Celtics. The Celts. The Irish Scottish area. I got that wrong. Someone let me know how bad I got it.
Someone's going to get crossed and have some salt and vinegar.
Oh goodness gracious. But maybe what?
That's a thing, right?
Salt and vinegar? Salt and vinegar.
I mean, salty is what I meant, probably. Yeah. They're going to be salty. Okay, go on.
So, the ancient Celts had, they had this celebration. Many cultures already had, some sort of celebration to celebrate the dead. But what set the Celtic tradition apart, it was called Samhain.
Mm-hmm. It's when they would cleanse their body with bath salts.
Oh, God. And they'd go out in the street and start eating people's faces off.
Bath salts, not salts.
Oh, sorry. They would go out in the streets and steal each other's lucky charms.
Mm-hmm.
What set Samhain apart was that the younger men, probably teenage to young young adult age would dress up in white costumes and black masks, and they would act like evil spirits. Or...
So Halloween costumes back in the day, they got so much less scary as they got tried to go for realism.
Yeah.
That sounds so much better. Like, all that spooky old stuff is so cool.
It's like, if you... I think that would be really effective if you had, like, just a white... I don't know, like a cloak or like even like a white suit or something, and then you had just had like a black face.
Yeah.
It'd be like the villain from the Spider-Man game. So somewhere between the 8th century BCE, if you will, and 43 AD, this tradition popped up in the Celtic culture. And the reason is because the Celtic New Year started on November 1st, and like many cultures do today, they believed that when the year ended and the new one began, the land of the living and the land of the dead overlapped, and the spirits could roam the earth again. And you can kind of, like, as I'm describing this, you can kind of see how this has bled into other traditions that we see today.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
Dia de los Muertos.
Exactly, that's where I was going to go with it. And the young men would supposedly dress up to... trick the spirits into thinking that they were actually spirits so that they wouldn't harm them. And additionally, I found out that they believe the spirits would like ruin their crops and cause trouble. So the Celtic druids would like make these huge bonfires, and people would show up, they'd dress up, and they'd bring like crops and stuff to add to this bonfire to make a sacrifice. And it also supposedly helped the druids make predictions about the future. So they would be like, hey, come make a sacrifice to protect yourself, and I will also be able to tell you what's going to happen next year.
Nice little bonus pack.
I know. I think maybe he had a little bit more benefit from the people throwing their crops on the fire, but, I mean, seeing the future is... Well, it's not always... What's the lyric from that story even? That's where I was going to go. I couldn't think of the lyric. You think life would be a breeze.
What?
That's the Raven. She's like, something about seeing the future. You think life would be a breeze? No? Okay. You didn't watch Disney Channel when you were...
Not as much as I watched Nickelodeon.
Well, I watched a lot of TV when I was a kid. So anyway, in 43 AD, which is an oddly specific year, that's when...
Yeah, how do we know that? And not 42.
Well, in 43 AD, Rome conquered the Celtic lands, and as we all know, the Roman Empire loved taking other people's traditions and assimilating their culture. And is that funny? Or can I not say that?
Oh, no. Americans are way into that.
Oh, okay. Well, so are the Romans.
You can leave that there.
So they loved taking other people's traditions and making them a part of their own. So they combined a couple of their own traditions with the Celtic tradition of Samhain. And they had 2 days in October. One was... It was a day to honor the dead, and the second was to celebrate the goddess of fruit and trees, and her name was Pomona.
Ooh, yeah, Pomona.
Well, yeah.
Pomona flowers.
That's Scott Pilgrim.
Thanks. Thanks for letting me know.
Thanks for letting me know what my joke was.
Yeah.
She was the goddess of fruit and trees, and that's possibly where we get traditions like caramel apples and bobbing for apples.
Okay.
Come along with.
There's so many other tree sports that we could have went with. I mean, why aren't tire swings a Halloween thing then?
I mean, I'm sure there's a tire swing in the Halloween movie.
Yeah, maybe like a spooky acorn.
Yeah.
Ghost. You know?
You draw that up. We'll see how far that goes. So that tradition carried on until Christianity took over, and we all know how much they loved like seeing all these pagan holidays be more popular than their own holidays. So they're like, oh, well, we're going to put our similar holiday on the exact same day.
We got to market better.
Well, that's exactly what it was, right?
Yeah.
So Christmas used to be like in July, and then the pagan holiday was on December 25th. And they're like, well, now Jesus's birth was on December 25th. Yeah. So suck it.
Yeah. Slide that down. Now it's a Christmas holiday.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So they did the same thing with Halloween. Somewhere between the 600s and the 800s AD, they began combining it with other holidays like All Souls Day, All Saints Day, All Hallows Eve, All Hallowmas, and eventually it became Halloween.
Now, Nick, when you go to All Saints, how much do you usually drop?
I don't understand the reference.
There's a clothing company called All Saints.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's the best.
Yeah? $700 then.
Stupid. Yeah. Oh. That's like a shirt.
That's one shirt. So there's a little bit of tiny history with it coming to America that I'll cover, since we do live in America, and a lot of these traditions, I guess, permeate to other like European countries and English-speaking countries like Canada or the UK. So during colonial America, there were Halloween traditions, but they mostly just sat around, told ghost stories, and just like pulled pranks on each other for the most part.
I want to know those pranks so bad. They just colonial pranks are so much more brutal. Oh, I put a trip mine under your, like,
they don't have trip mines in colonial America.
You don't know that. You can't prove it. It's made out of animal bones, so it disintegrates. Oh. There's no evidence. It's a perfect crime.
They made it out of ice.
Yeah.
Apparently, it wasn't until the Irish immigrants started coming over to the U.S. in like the late 1800s, early 1900s,
okay,
that they brought over their Celtic heritage, and we started to get more of the European traditions. And that was around, like, Halloween, as we know it, started to emerge in 1920-ish. There was a lull during the Depression and World War II, and by the time World War II ended, all the sugar rations were lifted, and Halloween exploded and became what it is today.
Wow. Thanks,
well, I think, America. Like, if I remember the stat correctly, like, a quarter of all candy sales take place for Halloween. Like, yearly candy sales take place just for Halloween.
It's so nuts that there's a date you could place on the quarter, the sugar rations being
Isn't
lifted.
Isn't that crazy?
The Halloween began. shortly after. Yeah.
So, a lot of the Halloween traditions came from Celtic and other European traditions, but, like I said, American Halloween, the UK, Canadian Halloweens, they're just a mixture of a lot of other traditions as well. And in this episode, that's what we're going to figure out, where we got these traditions from. And like I said, I got some of these suggestions from our audience, and I've got five of them. We've got trick-or-treating, pumpkin carving, mischief making, flower tossing, and women's matchmaking.
Search Stranger Still on Facebook, join the group, and help.
Yeah, hey, that's a good plug. I thought you were gonna make a joke, but that was like just unreal.
I just didn't want it to be long or boring.
Yeah, we got some really good suggestions.
It's neither of those things. Join it.
Because as I was researching it, I was like, all I got is costumes, trick-or-treating, and candy. Mm-hmm. And then people are like, what about Devil's Night? Or why do people throw flour on the ground and stuff like that? So,
is it true that we really are spooky skeletons on the inside?
There's a skeleton underneath all of my skin?
Mm.
So anyway, before we begin, I got a lot of this information from like all over the place. My main sources were places like Mental Floss or the History Channel, some blog posts. And I will try to put them on our show notes. If you want to find that too, go to StrangerStillShow.com. Da-da-da. So trick-or-treating. I think that's kind of where we have to start, right?
Yeah.
We can't talk about Halloween without trick-or-treating.
I really want to hear about tricking more than treating at this point. I know a lot about candy.
That you say that.
Mm-hmm.
We already kind of talked about where costumes came from. There's a little bit more history of it. All of candy and costumes and trick-or-treating come down to this tradition that emerged in the Middle Ages called souling, which was basically fall time caroling.
That is the most gothic. Do you have, like, all the goth kids just, heart fluttered.
Let me tell you this. The people that went around doing the souling were called soulers.
Oh, man. And did they just sing songs of sorrow?
And they listened to Korn.
Dude.
Like, no, the vegetable, not the band.
Okay.
So what they would do is they would go around door to door. They'd get dressed up. That was called guising, like disguising, but guising. They would start singing or praying in order to, or they'd ask for food or money in exchange for their songs or prayers. One popular food that people would give out were called soul cakes, appropriately enough. And they were these sweet, small, circular cakes, and they had a cross on the top. And I think if you ate them, it would save you from, like, purgatory or something like that.
Yeah, and I think that you got that off a JRPG site, and I don't know if that's real.
No, it totally is. It was made out of...
Yeah, so you take the soul cake. It's made out of mithril and...
No, it's made out of cinnamon, ginger, nutmeg, and raisins and other spices.
And what did it do?
It was just... It was plus save AC. You from purgatory.
Oh, okay.
No biggie. And that was sort of the beginning of handing out sweets for Halloween, and eventually it became candy. Eventually, souling became less about singing songs and more about doing some sort of trick. Mm-hmm. So this is where you get your tricks.
Yeah.
So you could, a lot of people would recite a poem mm-hmm. or juggle or something. You could tell a joke.
Do a flip.
And do a cool backflip.
Oh, yeah.
A standing backflip.
Imagine going door to door and you have all this big bucket of treats that you're carrying around. You're working your butt off. And every door you go to says, do a flip. You got to do tricks
do
every
a flip,
time.
Man. Yeah.
Ugh.
You're like, another one? Gosh.
You sure you don't want a soul cake? Like, just, come on.
No, I want that good chocolate. I want to talk about pumpkin carving. And the story of jack-o'-lanterns appears to be a pagan tradition, which I bring up because that was Tamara's question on our Facebook page. And the reason I say that is because it comes from an old Irish tradition, which the ancient Celts were pagan. So I assume that it was a pagan tradition. And I wouldn't normally just like read what an article said, but Mental Floss had a really good recap of the origin of jack-o'-lantern, so I just kind of want to read that, what they had on their article.
Cool.
If you will indulge me. They said, jack-o'-lanterns, which originated in Ireland with turnips instead of pumpkins, are based on a legend about a man named Stingy Jack, who repeatedly trapped the devil and only let him go on the condition that Jack would never go to hell. However, when he died, Jack learned that heaven didn't really want his soul either, after all of his devilish dealings, so he was condemned to wander the earth as a ghost for all eternity. His old friend the devil gifted Jack a lump of burning coal, which Jack carried around in a carved-out turnip to light his way. Locals began carving frightening faces into their own gourds to scare off evil spirits such as Jack of the Lantern.
Wow, and now my gourd is spooked off.
Oh my gourd. And as for the reason why we switched from turnips to pumpkins is like a really...
It's big pharma.
Well, no, with an F. No, it's a really lame reason. The reason is that when the colonists came to America, there was simply a crap load more pumpkins than there were turnips, so they used those instead.
Okay.
Which, I think it was Phil, our friend Phil Gonzalez from Deep in Bear Country, posted a picture of
Jamaican banana lanterns.
No, they were turnip. Oh. They were turnip jack-o'-lanterns.
They're so much scarier,
and they're frightening. They're terrifying, man.
Yeah, because they look like little shrunken heads.
Yeah, they do. That's what they look like.
Because
like,
their
hair. Lips get like turned in like a shrunken head.
Yeah,
and they have the hair, like the stringy hair. You're right. It's not aesthetically pleasing.
What is aesthetically pleasing is probably some banana lanterns.
Yeah,
which I haven't seen.
Before.
Me neither. I mean, I'm putting it out there.
You want someone to make a banana lantern?
I want it to have already existed as a cultural phenomenon.
Okay, we'll look it up after the break, which is much later.
Okay,
we're not close to that yet. L from Handbook Podcast, speaking of plugging podcasts, wanted to know why you're supposed to let the jack-o'-lanterns burn until midnight, and I couldn't find anything. So I'm sorry, L.
Maybe that's something to do with the end of the new year, with the dead and the alive at the same time. Midnight's always like a focal point.
This is a little bit of a spoiler, but candles were often used to lead the spirits back home, so they'd know where to go. So maybe that. You might be right.
And that's curfew. Spirit curfew is midnight. Everybody knows that.
Spirit curfew. So, and then, again, speaking of plugging other podcasts, Jay and Justin Vignola. Jay is from Potstirrer Podcast on our network. And Justin Vignola is the co-founder and producer of the Flying Machine Network.
Mm-hmm.
They both wanted...
And your coworker.
And my coworker.
To the people that are his coworkers now, it makes sense to them.
Oh.
I want them to have a map too, Nick.
Oh.
Maybe everybody doesn't know everything about everyone, you know?
That's true. They both wanted to know where... Jay called it Devil's Night. Justin called it Mischief Night. But they both just kind of wanted to know where this tradition of causing havoc on Halloween came from. And there's kind of a simple answer. I didn't think that... I thought there'd just be some, like, amorphous answer where it's just like, well, people start being jerks on Halloween.
You're wearing a mask.
Yeah, they have this anonymity, so they just want to throw flour at people's faces.
Right.
But back in the day, there was this pre-Halloween tradition called Devil's Night or Mischief Night where you would go out on the town intentionally to wreak havoc. You might vandalize people's homes, like TP them, throw eggs at their garage.
Yeah, gross.
Or you might smash their pumpkins. You might scare little kids and steal their candy, so on and so forth. Apparently, these pranks started as a May Day tradition. So a good 6 months later, 7 months later. Yeah, seven. No, well, it's at the end of October. So what did I say, 6 months later?
Yeah. Have you experienced Mischief Night?
No.
Okay.
I grew up in Iowa.
In New York, it's like, I guess I was on Long Island, so it wasn't as crazy as in New York City, but it's like, it just becomes like a 80s movie where it's just like roaming gangs of, in costumes and they have weapons and stuff. Yeah, like I had a friend who had injected eggs with Nair.
Was he a jet?
No.
When you're a jet all the way?
I want you to think about what I said, though.
What did you say? I didn't
hear. He injected eggs with Nair.
And threw them at people?
And threw them at people.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Like, and that was a competition. That's what you had to worry about, running into someone that had something like that. Or shaving cream, eggs. I was like a little kid. I just want candy.
I know, right? So anyway, there was the pranks and this sort of havoc started with May Day. And I believe it was a European tradition, because when it was brought to America, it was then assimilated to a Halloween tradition. There was one incident that I read about in 1894 in Washington, D.C., where as a prank, 200 kids threw bags of flour at a bunch of well-dressed people just because they didn't like them. Which brings me to the next listener question. Carol wanted to know why throwing flour on floors of people's homes became a tradition. And I had never heard of this. Have you heard of this?
No.
Turns out there's a rich history of flour in Halloween that I... After thinking about it a little bit, it makes a little bit of sense.
Because everybody ate bread all the time. So they had so much flour.
A lot of flour. Well, I think it's because... Well, we'll get there. So Carol linked a short clip of a movie from 1944 called Meet Me in St. Louis, where a kid, as an act of revenge on a grumpy old man, he like knocks on his door on Halloween. The grumpy old man opens the door and he throws a bag of flour on his floor. I had never seen that before, but...
It's before vacuums existed. What a nightmare.
I know. You have to, like, sweep it up.
For years.
The nerve. But I didn't find an exact answer to the question, so I'm sorry about that, but I think I came close. There's a few, like I said, with the boys that threw, the 200 boys that threw flour at people. That was the worst sentence to say ever. Ever in the history. I got the worst sentences.
That one was a little worse. Oh, you really top that quick, huh?
That's what we do on the show.
Okay.
But apparently the idea of throwing flour at people was supposed to be a substitute for quote-unquote killing people that you didn't like on Halloween. And my thought for this is...
Everybody was gluten sensitive.
No, that's a recent emergence. If you ask people, my idea is that you would throw flour at them and they'd go like white, like a ghost, and then they'd be dead. So maybe that's where it came from.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't have any explanation, but that's just my own thought after taking a step back. I also found out that there's this tradition. It's not as relevant to Carol's question, but people would put flour on the floor and put a slug in the middle of it.
Ew.
I'd never heard of this either. But the slug would, like, squirm around the flour, and the hope was that it would make the pattern of the face of the person that you're going to marry.
Oh, okay, that makes sense, yeah. I'm glad that we have traditions in this world, because human beings are really creative.
Human beings are just... There's a lot of matchmaking traditions when it comes to Halloween, and all of them are just like, what the hell?
That's amazing. Like, you gotta find the right slug, you know?
Yes.
Plenty of slugs in this in the swamp.
Slugs. So this wasn't something that anyone asked about, but I wanted to talk about all the matchmaking traditions that take place on Halloween, where women would hope to find out who they were going to marry. I should say primarily women. That's what always came up in the research, but I'm sure that it wasn't exclusively women. My personal thoughts on this, and I didn't come across this in my research, but I imagine this goes back to the time where druids were hoping to use the big bonfires to help predict the future.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that maybe this stems from that, where these young women are hoping to tell their future similarly, figure out who the love of their life is going to be.
That makes sense. It seems like that was a bigger deal.
Right. Yeah.
It was like
before Tinder.
When you were forced
to. Is that why Tinder's called Tinder?
Because the
druids make these bonfires?
Yeah, dude. Put it on your YouTube blog.
I've never said on this show. So we've got a few traditions out there. You've got the weird slug stuff. This also seems to be where we got bobbing for apples from as well.
Mm-hmm.
The idea was that whoever snagged the first apple from bobbing for it was going to be the next person to walk down the aisle. Women would also peel apples and toss the peels over their shoulder, and the peels were supposed to form the initials of the man you're going to marry.
You ever bob for apples, Nick?
I have.
Seems unsanitary. My community would bob for toothbrushes in a sea of mouthwash.
I don't believe it's you. A lot for cleaner. A second. Okay. That would burn your face and eyes.
To get them minty fresh. Some called burning. Some called it minty.
Your eyes still smell nice.
Mm-hmm.
Where were we? There's a bunch more traditions. Like women would eat a quote sugary concoction made out of walnuts, hazelnuts, and nutmeg before going to bed on Halloween night, in hopes that she would quote dream of about her future husband. Sure.
Look.
Hazelnuts feet seem
I'm
to be
into
a
all that
big theme.
But you didn't let me tell you that I did get medical treatment after the bobbing for toothbrushes, and
you're
the doctor said that my
joke?
Eyes were in mint condition.
Okay, that was worth it. Damn it, that was really good. Oh man, that's going on the highlight reel we don't make. Scottish fortune tellers would also they'd take like a bunch of hazelnuts. They had have the woman name each hazelnut after a man that she fancied. The fortune teller would throw the hazelnuts in a fire, and if it burst or popped, that their love with that suitor would not last. And if it burned to ash, that was going to be their future husband and the love of their life. There's also like weird ones where they would hide a ring in a like a matchmaking chef would put a ring inside of a potato and serve it to the woman that they wanted to get paired up with this man. It's a bunch of weird stuff. So the moral of the story is while men were out there throwing flour on well-dressed people, women were trying to figure out if those idiots were going to marry them or not.
Yeah, good.
But was that spooky enough for you?
Yeah, very scary.
Well, even spookier is after the break, I have a game for you. Do you want to...
E-gods.
E-gads. Do you want to go to a quick break real fast?
Let's do that.
All right.
Hold on, sugar. Daddy's got a sweet tooth tonight.
I could use some candy, John.
Yeah.
Where can I find some candy?
Ear candy is at strangerstillshow.com.
I didn't know where I was going with that, and you totally saved me.
Yeah, I told you. I'm a good PR guy. You're going to want me when you got to get out of that funk.
Yeah. Uptown Funk you up. So you can also find us at facebook.com/group/strangerstill. And if you want to support us on Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/flyingmachine and kick a few bucks our way. That'd be awesome. That'd be the coolest. That'd be the other thing that means awesome. I couldn't think of any more words, but I wanted to say something.
The spectacle of a lifetime. Is that too much?
Yes.
Okay.
But that's okay. You know what? That's okay. Because we're going to play a game, John.
Okay.
I have the origins. These are like really short, so they didn't get their own segment. But I have five. Count them. Five.
I can't count them. You just told me they were, and I have to trust you.
One, two, three, four. Five. Classic Halloween decorations. And I want you to try to guess the origin of these decorations. And if you get close to three of them, I'll let you pick my Halloween costume.
Oh, okay, great.
But if you don't, I get to pick yours.
Oh, okay.
So congratulations. I already know what I'm going to make you dress up as.
Oh, great. What is that?
Poop emoji.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go. You ready?
You're buying.
I just know how much you love poop. So
yeah,
I'm
okay, great. Thanks. Appreciate you.
So, John, I want to know where you think the decorations...
I'm going to make you Tucker Carlson, Nick.
Oh, God. Oh,
come on.
Please, no. My dad would be so happy.
Ew.
If you want to hear more from my dad, go to limitedcell.com. So where do you think the colors orange and black came from?
Well, first of all, black is a shade, not a color. Thank you.
I don't want to get into this discussion.
Let's get into the right labels.
There is an RGB number for it.
What is it, zero? Or is
yes.
That, okay, great. See, I act
means
like
it's a color.
Yeah, I know the stats on okay. Black.
Can you just answer the damn question?
Sure. I don't know. Spooky dusk. It gets orange at night before the sun goes down.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, Nick.
No. It's much simpler than that. Black is just for death, and orange is because that's the color that the leaves change to. See
wow.
Why these didn't get their own segment?
Yeah, I guess so.
Where do you think the tradition of black cats came from, besides just generally being bad luck?
I don't know. Mine is pretty much bad luck, because his name's Binks, and he likes to eat straws.
Uh-huh.
That was not part of my answer.
Maybe you can get
that. I think they were around a bunch, though. And they were causing havoc.
Yeah, but what did people believe black cats were?
Oh, Satan devils.
I was looking for witches familiars.
Okay.
Witches familiars. That means you have to get the next three correct.
Witches familiars, like Inception? Like they know how they feel or something?
No, so... So
they're no cat's weights.
The noun familiar, not the the verb.
Okay,
adjective
is a JRPG thing.
Yeah, again? I mean that they use the term familiars. It's like your assistant. It's like in Sabrina the Teenage Cat. Salem was a familiar. She was a witch's familiar.
Sabrina the Teenage Cat.
Teenage cat. Oh my god. Teenage
witch.
What's
the third one? Count that as a win. I just finagled my way into a win.
You get a half a point. Right. How about candles?
Candles.
We already said this one.
It's how you see things.
What? Well, yes, but that's not why they became a
it's why they
decoration
became
for Halloween.
An invention.
That's not the answer to the question. Thomas Edison.
Spirits.
Spirits what?
They like to hang out in the flames. They like to canoodle in them.
Are you serious?
Nick.
We literally just talked about
it's
this.
It's to guide them through the darkness.
The spirits?
Yeah.
Fine, you get 1 point, finally. Starting to get, I can feel the aneurysm forming. How about bats? This one's actually like really fascinating to me. Where
okay.
Where did the tradition of bat decorations come from?
Van Helsing. The 2000 blockbuster.
With, was that Hugh Jackman?
Yeah.
And probably some other people.
But they called him, I think the Flophouse called him Huge Axeman in that one.
Huge Axeman?
Weapon. Okay, bats. Bats, I don't know. You think of them, you associate them with Dracula.
Right.
Blood sucking.
Yeah. But could they have come from something else?
Bat parents? I don't know.
This one's tough. So this is when the druids made the huge bonfires, apparently the light would attract a bunch of insects, which in turn attracted bats.
That's awesome.
And in the Middle Ages, they became symbols for the harbingers of death, which is probably around the time that they became associated with Dracula and all that. But I also assume that this is where you get like spiders and spider webs from too, because if you're attracting insects, you're going to attract spiders as well.
Yeah.
So maybe.
Wow.
Last one. If you get this, you don't have to dress up as poop.
Okay, great.
How about candy corn?
Hmm.
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 Hmm. The, dang.
Come on, you got this.
So, were they always shaped like that?
Yes.
They weren't, like, leftovers that were molded?
No. No, they were not.
So, they're done on purpose. There's three colors.
Uh-huh.
And they each represent something. Probably. And it's going to be really dumb. It's going to be like, one is leaves and one is snow that melted because it's no longer winter from last year.
Is that your final answer? Because you are dead wrong.
What are they, Nick?
There isn't any spectacular
ones. I was going to say, like, the candy company.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. So in the 1880s, there's this company called the Wonderly Candy Company that started making them to symbolize our favorite fall vegetable, corn.
Wow. Look at that. Our favorite fall vegetable.
Ta-da! Yeah. That's good enough for me. How about you?
I don't know. I would have called them candy yammies, but that's fine.
Hmm. Candy yammies. Well,
or candy yam even flows off the tongue better than candy corn.
Then that would be the shape of a yam.
Yeah. Everyone's favorite fall vegetable. What are you talking about?
No, my favorite fall gourd is a pumpkin.
Okay.
You ding-a-ding-a-ding-along.
Were we talking about gourds or vegetables?
Aren't gourds also vegetables?
Oh, no. You better look that up, Nicholas. All the answers.
The seeds are on the inside. Hang on. Let me think about this. The seeds are on the inside and they grow on a vine.
Just like a tomato, Nick.
Like a grape.
Think it through.
I think pumpkins are berries.
It's fruit.
I'm pretty sure pumpkins are fruits.
I'm still John.
I'm still Nick.
And this is Stranger Still.
I give you the incredible flying machine.